We've made it to a Football Friday, to a Rhinestone Cowboy Friday for those who celebrate, and we do. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad. I'll be on the sideline for the ECU App State game tomorrow. My wife is going to be with me. We can't wait to see the atmosphere at The Rock. Meanwhile, the producer of this show, WD, is going to be in Chapel Hill. North Carolina, Minnesota, both these games kick off at 3:30. But it doesn't feel like we've talked enough about the Tar Heels matchup here. It is an ACC Big Ten game, after all. After last week's double overtime thriller, Minnesota has become a concerning matchup for the Tar Heels. Even though Carolina is the one that's ranked and Minnesota isn't, even though the game's in Chapel Hill and it's not in the Midwest, this is a single-digit point spread, and it's been a popular pick, Minnesota's been, by the sharps out in Vegas. However, you should not expect that the Carolina team that we see tomorrow will resemble the one we saw a week ago, the one that barely squeaked out that double OT win. You should expect the Tar Heels from the opener in Charlotte to return and for North Carolina to win the game. Here's why. Minnesota has not faced an opponent remotely like Carolina yet. More specifically, they haven't seen a quarterback like Drake May. With respect to the quarterback Matt Rhule has, and former Georgia Tech quarterback Jeff Sims, and with respect to whomever's playing quarterback for Eastern Michigan, Drake May, to quote the kids, is built different. And this is also the first road game that Minnesota has this year. And that's not a small thing, the first time you take your team on the road. But on the quarterback front, here's Mr. Rode the Boat himself, P.J. Fleck, on Drake May.
Everything. I mean, he's as advertised. He's smooth now. I mean, nothing rattles him. He's a great runner. He's a great athlete. He's very accurate. He can do it all. I mean, that's why probably he's the number one quarterback being taken in the draft, they say, coming up. I've only studied him one night, right, a little bit in the offseason, but you talk about a really good player. They build the whole scheme around him.
They do that, and he's pretty darn good. So you should expect North Carolina to play better than it did a week ago. You should expect them to play motivated. They did not play great a week ago. It doesn't mean they played badly. They played well enough to win. This isn't me saying, oh, well, they didn't take App seriously, even though there was some element of that. Mac Brown even mentioned that after the game, that it's human nature. College game day is at your game. You beat South Carolina by a couple of touchdowns, an SEC team in an NFL stadium. You're coming back home. It's your home opener. And the team you're facing had its starting quarterback in the opener get hurt, and you're barely laboring past Gardner Webb. Kids are kids. And they'll look at that and think, ah, well, we got this one. They can barely play with Gardner Webb. Surely they're not going to compete here. And it turns out the team that they saw against Gardner Webb was not the same team that they lined up against last week. App State emptied the bucket against the Tar Heels and nearly won the game. So a week after that, North Carolina is not going to look past 2-0 Minnesota. They're not going to do that. They're going to play motivated. I think that statement the NCAA put out, talking about passively their teammate Tez Walker and his mental health, that's probably firing them up. The way they talked about their coach, probably firing them up as well. Use every means of motivation you can have if you're North Carolina. And also, don't overlook their physicality either. When Phil Longo left to join Luke Fickell in Wisconsin, Mac said a very interesting thing a year ago, in that there are some things he was very displeased with in terms of the way that Phil Longo was running the offense. And the number one thing that he keyed in on was, we're not very physical. Like, late in the year, we're getting pushed around. And that's not what you want to see. That's what happened when North Carolina was at home against Georgia Tech and lost to NC State in the season finale. Dave Doran's team's known for being incredibly tough. And certainly Clemson had their way with North Carolina in the ACC championship game. Toughness was a big emphasis point. And Chip Lindsey has history with some power rushing attacks. You bring in a new offensive line coach who has some of that background as well. All the attention goes to the quarterback. We kind of understand that when a team is successful. And when they're not, he absorbs a lot of the blame. Drake May is really good, so let me put that out there. This is not a critique on Drake May. But the reason North Carolina has won the last 2 weeks is not because of Drake May. The best player in a Tar Heel uniform offensively a week ago was Omarion Hampton, the running back. He carried them in that game. And the reason Omarion Hampton carried North Carolina a week ago was because British Brooks wasn't in the lineup in that game, because British Brooks was the best offensive player for Carolina against the Gamecocks. They've been running the rock, and you might get British Brooks back this week. Defensively, oh, they've been the butt of the joke so many times, the Tar Heel defense. Great against South Carolina. 9 sacks when they only had 17 as a team last year. Had 9 sacks. And then against App State, there were moments that didn't look good. Joey Aguilar had a great game, but it didn't allow 30. In regulation, that is. In regulation, they didn't allow 30, held a team to under 30 points in regulation. You had a big stop holding a team to 3 at the end of regulation. You had the stop in double overtime. They were opportunistic. Give them some credit there, too. The physicality of North Carolina is a bit underrated right now. You know what you got in Drake. The running game, though, and the defense, been very good for the Tar Heels. So North Carolina is going to win the game against Minnesota. I have them by a touchdown. Tar Heels 27, Minnesota 20. On Twitter, if you want in, at WSJS Radio. That's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton, the executive producer of this show. You've got the Tar Heels tomorrow. I've got App State and ECU. Pretty exciting stuff. Everybody's knocking this weekend because there's not a great big national game to cling on to like Texas-Alabama a week ago.
Not around here.
I'm fine with this slate.
Yeah.
Completely fine with it. Make sure to follow our coverage on social media. Getting to the other Minnesota football team, there's going to be a new NFC North champion this year. Last night on WSJS, the Eagles didn't even play all that great, and they controlled that game and beat Minnesota on Thursday Night Football. At 0-2, Minnesota's not winning the NFC North, because they now fall into this category, into this stat. Since 1990, only 31 of the 270 NFL teams that have started a season 0-2 went on to make the playoffs. And an even smaller number of those teams won their division. The Vikings are not going to be an exception to that, because they have real problems right now. And the thing that is most frustrating about it, I'm sure, they were the same problems they had in week one. This is a Coach K-ism, something that he often talked about. If we're going to get beat, then we're going to prioritize what went wrong in that game and make sure that doesn't beat us twice. In other words, there are times that Duke's lost consecutive games, but Coach K was going to make sure that second game wasn't lost for the same reason the first one was. You better beat us a different way, because we're not going to have the same mistakes cost us multiple times. The same mistakes cost Minnesota. In week one, they lost to Tampa Bay at home, and not very good Tampa team. 3 turnovers and only 14 rushing attempts for the running backs. 3 turnovers, 14 rushing attempts. Last night, Minnesota had 4 turnovers and 9 attempts running the ball for 28 yards. And you might wonder, how in Philly were they even able to compete with 4 turnovers in the game, including the one that Justin Jefferson fumbled into the end zone? Well, that's because Kirk Cousins has thrown for over 700 yards and 6 touchdowns in these 2 games. And they lost them both. Like, imagine if I told you at this time a week ago, Kirk Cousins was going to throw for 700 yards and 6 touchdowns in the first 2 games. What do you think their record's going to be against Tampa and Philly? You'd say, well, easily they're 1-1, but they might even be 2-0 with those types of stats. 0-2. And Kirk Cousins isn't going to continue to put up those types of numbers. He's not. So when he's not, how can you expect they're going to win when they lose, even though he puts up those numbers? Elsewhere in the division, the Lions and the Packers were stories in week one. Big stories. Both had big road wins. Detroit winning in Kansas City on opening night. Green Bay going to Chicago and taking care of the Bears with Jordan Love looking great in the game. So there's going to be a new NFC North champ, which is normal for the NFL. One of the secret sauce items for the NFL, one of their secrets is that there's so much turnover in terms of who is competitive year to year. Like, you have 6-7 playoff teams turnover every season. In other words, other teams that made the playoffs last year, 6 or 7 of them, do not make the playoffs the year after. And it looks like Minnesota's one of those teams. But there could be other decent teams that start 0-2 this weekend as well. Either the Chargers or the Titans will be 0-2 because they play each other and they're both 0-1. Maybe Kansas City, even though Kelsey and Chris Jones are going to be back. They're in Jacksonville. That's not easy. New England at home against Miami on Sunday Night Football, a game you can listen to on WSJS. That's tough. Maybe the Steelers on Monday night. Hosting the Browns, another tough one. You don't want to start 0-2 for that stat that I mentioned. Only 31 of 270 since 1990 started 0-2 and ended up making the playoffs. Minnesota won't be 32.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
You can't say drugs on the radio?
Nah, man.
That's bleeped out? Drugs? How do we do grammar school every week? Darren Bott is now in studio.
What? Hold on. What year was Rockstar?
This is Rockstar by Nickelback, and Darren Bott's in studio, and we need to admonish Darren because as he joins us in studio, he was in the Triangle last night where he lives. Nickelback was performing last night in Raleigh, and they brought Carolina Hurricane Jordan Martinook onto the stage, and you were not there to tell us about it. Shame on you. Shame on you, Darren Bott.
Could have been, should have been. We didn't make it happen. Sorry. Apologies.
One observation about the video, though. It doesn't look like Chad Kroeger, the lead singer of Nickelback, was nearly as excited about Martinook being there as Hayley Williams was with Steph Curry singing Paramore a month back.
Yeah, like, do we think Kroeger is the least bit of a hockey fan?
No chance they knew who Jordan Martinook
was.
They
had no idea who he was. I think it was just an arranged thing, but because it was in Raleigh, it was at PNC Arena, right? Or where was it?
I don't know where it was at. It was not PNC, so no. Whatever. The name of the place is
Walnut Creek Coastal
the place
Credit.
That has the
whatever it's called.
One of those that has a lawn.
Yeah,
that's where they were performing.
Okay,
every place feels like they have a lawn
then
now.
That actually makes it a little bit more surprising that Martinook got in on that.
It is a little surprising
because if it's PNC, you know,
for
you
years,
think it's an arena.
But for years, he's been going on this show and other shows requesting Nickelback and talking about Nickelback. And he is a legitimate fan, but about halfway through the video, you could see Kroeger giving him the eyes like, okay, who is this dude? What's this guy's a little bit too into it right now? And unsurprisingly, Martin.
Nickelback, Kroeger specifically, they've been the butt of a lot of jokes over the years. I wonder if he didn't suspect that. Okay, is this guy clowning me? Like, what is this? Is he really this into the music? Is he, what's happening here?
This seems like a great segue into unusual questions.
Last week, guys, everybody made it out that I got mad at Josh and I left the press conference. That's not right. I thought it was an unusual question, and it's okay.
It's time for Unusual Questions with Josh Gray.
And I'll start. I'm going to App State ECU with my wife tomorrow.
And how's that not a drop, by the way?
My wife.
How do we not have Borat as a drop?
We can work on that. Probably because he doesn't know what Borat is.
Wait. Oh, yeah.
I know what Borat is. I just haven't seen it.
Okay, well, at least you know what that is. That's
is that going up on the poll? Is that what that means?
We can eventually get for that next there. Week or That'll whatever. Be a tough Should. One to talk about on the air for 10 minutes, though. But I'm going to the game.
Okay.
And originally, I was just going to sit in the stands, and we had pretty good seats close to the 50-yard line.
Sure.
I'm excited about that. Hard to get tickets to this game, so that's fantastic. Sean Clark on Monday says, though, hey, you could also come on down to the field if you want and watch the game, too. Fantastic. I'm used to being like in the press box, which is kind of like a sweet area. You have TVs, you have some drinks and stuff. So I go to you, Darren Vaught, and I say, weather conditions are perfect or controlled because you're indoors.
Yep.
Someone comes up to you and asks, you can only sit at one of these places, sit or stand. 50-yard line, front row seats, further back in a suite with TVs and food, or on the field the whole game. Which do you prefer?
I don't know. So, like, I mean, obviously, when we used to do the big tailgate tour with the David Glenn show, lots of experience just, like, hanging on the sidelines for these games. Pretty cool perspective to get it from.
You get to see the speed of the game.
See the speed of it. Though you can't necessarily see the entire width of the field always. I think sweet area. Sweet-ish area. Like, you know, most places where there's a broadcast booth, that's kind of my typical vantage point for a game, is elevated a little bit, unless we're talking courtside for basketball, which is more and more seldomly the case.
WD, how about you?
What was the question again, specifically?
Oh, my gosh.
Were you not listening? Were you checked out back there? What are you doing?
I wasn't checked out.
Front row, 50-yard line seats, further back in a TV or in a suite with TVs or food, or on the field for the whole game?
I always prefer to be on the field.
See, I think ideally it would be a little bit of both, but if you only pick one, I think I'm probably picking the suite.
Yeah, just
so I could have TVs and food and drink.
Being on the field is a little too much, like, effort, I think.
What's your unusual question, Darren Vaught?
So, I happened unto my brother yesterday.
Your twin brother.
My twin brother.
Aaron. Not a joke.
Which rhymes with Darren. Not a joke. Real thing. Dad's idea, believe it or not, way back. So he's a little bit more of a gamer than I am. He's really big on the Mortal Kombat video games.
Oh, yeah.
Which they still make.
They do.
Still a thing.
WD knows.
New one coming all the games. Soon.
Well, he got early access yesterday because it was part of his pre-order package. Guys, it is the most beautifully animated, visually pleasing video game I've ever seen in my life.
Isn't it, though?
What's the question?
Did you see some of the fatalities on this thing?
No.
Oh, it's gory. It's
beautifully
let
gory.
Let him
though.
Ask
It's
a
relentless. It's relentless.
What's
okay.
the question?
OG Mortal Kombat character. If we're pulling it up on
Sub-Zero.
The Sega Genesis right now, who are you picking?
Sub-Zero.
Okay, that's a solid choice.
Scorpion. It's a little basic, I know, but
yeah,
I like his abilities.
A little basic.
Get over here.
I like the finishing move that Sub-Zero has where he freezes it.
Hold on.
Then...
Hold on. It's a fatality.
Fatality.
Get it right.
Finishing move, though.
Right, Josh.
What it is.
It's a fatality. Johnny Cage, obviously. For
Here's
for
Johnny.
Obvious reasons, Johnny Cage is my character on Mortal Kombat.
WD, you listening over there?
I am listening
okay,
over
what's
there.
What's your unusual question?
Shut up, Josh. So
telling someone to shut up on a radio show always makes me laugh.
Everyone
<know. laughs>
hey, on your radio show.
Gonna do.
Your
shut
name's
up
on
for
the 3
show.
Hours.
Shut up when you talk
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, that's right. Do you eat or drink soup?
How did we know it was a food question?
Shut up, Josh.
It's also just like an inane semantics
this is a
oriented.
Seinfeld. This is a Seinfeld bit.
It is a Seinfeld bit. It's kind of like that.
You eat soup because there's things
I don't know.
In there. Are things in
typically
the soup.
There
Not
are
always.
Things in the soup. Yeah.
What if it's tomato soup?
There are tomatoes
you,
in it.
Are you tipping the bowl over into your mouth with no utensil? Then you're drinking
it.
It.
I would never do
are
that.
Are you using a spoon? You're eating it.
That's right.
This doesn't have to be complicated.
How are you so bad at unusual questions?
I think it's kind of unusual to ask if do you eat or drink soup. Nobody, who asked that?
Darren, I need a ruling. Am I being too hard on him?
No, you're awful at unusual questions.
It's kind of a bit at this point, though, of like how bad of a question is he going to ask this week?
Sure, sure. Well, you can use that as your excuse.
I'm kind of leaning into this a little
bit. It's only
a bit
if we make fun of you, right?
Well, I always get made fun of.
It's only a bit if that happens. If we don't say anything, then it's just bad. A bad show. That's what it is.
Well, I just expect I'm going to get made fun of, so I kind of lean into it.
And that's been Unusual Questions with Darren Bott here in studio.
He's going to ask us about double dipping next week. Double dipping.
Thanks for the idea. Let me get to work on that.
Hot dog sandwich.
Got to workshop that a little bit there.
Or no.
Ding, ding, boys. School's in session.
Let's go, man.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
If you're up on Taylor Swift concerts, there are friendship bracelets, and I received a bunch of them being there, but I wanted to give Taylor Swift one with my number on it. Not right now.
Your number's in 87 or your phone number?
You know which one.
One pet peeve I have about listening to Travis Kelce on a podcast he does with his brother Jason Kelce. He does like the faux deep voice. The puke voice a little too much.
All right.
Oh, yeah. He does that a lot. And I think he thinks it sounds good because that's what players, they think you have to put on a voice for broadcasting when really what people seek out is relatability. Hey, is this how you talk like you do every day in normal conversation? But getting to the content of what Travis Kelce was telling his brother there, he gave Taylor Swift his number. That was from their podcast, New Heights. And there have been reports this week, Tay-Tay and Travis Kelce have been going out. They had gone out for at least one date. Some are saying multiple dates now. And nothing's been denied when it's been reported about, which led to an awkward moment, a funny moment, you decide, in the Prime Video post-game wrap-up where Jason Kelce is sitting there with the crew and Tony Gonzalez got to the important stuff.
Jason, you talk about family, and I have a 15-year-old daughter, and she's a big fan of a certain pop star, and you have a family member, a brother, I think.
Yeah.
And I've been hearing rumors that there's maybe some stuff. Can you comment on this?
I have seen these rumors. I cannot comment.
Did damn gossip.
You can't be right. What are we doing? It's for my daughter, okay?
What are we doing? Ever since catching Kelce, everybody has been infatuated with Travis's love life. So I don't really know what's going on there. I know Trav is having fun, and we'll see what happens with whoever he ends up with.
Trav's having fun. I know that in response to that question. They could be a super mega couple. Because this is my question. Let's picture a Venn diagram. On one side, football fans. On the other side, Taylor Swift fans. I am in the center of that Venn diagram, but in my head, I don't picture a lot of company there. I don't think, by and large, we have a massive crossover effect between football fans and Taylor Swift fans, Swifties.
You don't.
The reach of this power couple, Travis Kelce reaching the football fans, Taylor Swift reaching everybody else, that is appealing. And, I mean, their people convene in the same places, the same stadiums. Taylor Swift throwing stadium shows and Travis Kelce playing in those stadiums. If I were to think about athletes in America to play setup with Taylor Swift, if I were trying to play matchup guy and find an athlete to match up with Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce is one of the five names I think of first. Like, noticeably single, famous enough that the fame that Taylor Swift's dealing with is not really going to be much of a problem. Travis Kelce hosted SNL earlier this year. He's one of the best players in the sport. Has a really, really good sense of humor. Funny guy, interesting guy. Handsome guy as well. It I think it fits. Travis Kelce would have been one of the first five guys that I think of as potentially being a match. But this is all I know, WD. This is what's most important. Travis Kelce better treat Taylor Swift right. Because if you don't, we're not talking 15 seconds of fame that you're going to be dragged on the internet for with Taylor Swift referencing you in a song. No, there's going to be a whole album written about you if you mess this one up, Travis Kelce. No pressure. No pressure. You better treat her right. You better do all the right things, man. You better be well above Gyllenhaal and John Mayer level. You better be. Or Harry Styles for a week. You better treat Taylor Swift right. Because if you don't, that next album's going to be fire.
And it's going to be about you.
Like, Taylor Swift has 1989 that came out. It's going to be 87. That's going to be the name of the next album if you mess this one up, Travis Kelce. That's all I'm saying. 87. Album title. That's what we've got here. I just realized I like Carolina to beat Minnesota. I like ECU to win at App State. We haven't talked about who might be in danger of losing this weekend from the ACC Big Four. Because it has that feel of like a horror movie. We talk about this with basketball sometimes. Who's going to be the team to lose? All of them should win. One of them's not going to win. Who's going to be the team at the last second? You kind of hear the suspenseful music, gets dragged into a closet and their throat slit. Who's that going to be? Because at face value, Carolina favored by 8. Duke favored by 18. NC State, don't even set a line. They're playing VMI. Wake Forest going to ODU, 14-point favorites. It feels like it's going to be somebody. And I think if it is going to be somebody, the team I'm most concerned about is Wake Forest. I'm sorry, Deeks. I'm most concerned about you because, unlike NC State, unlike Duke, unlike North Carolina, you're going on the road. And this is the first time that Wake Forest has played a road game this year. And it feels worse that you're playing at a group of five. And this is what I mean. They're going to treat this game like the freaking Super Bowl. That isn't to say, oh, this is Old Dominion Super Bowl. That probably was Virginia Tech a few weeks ago. I don't view that as like a pejorative like some people do. Oh, that's ECU's Super Bowl or App State's. Yeah, it's a really important game to them, getting you to go to their place. They're going to treat it like Alabama's coming to town. Like you're talking about a Power 5 coming into your building. So they're going to be juiced up. And they're not bad either. 1-1. They gave Virginia Tech some trouble in the opener a couple of weeks ago. Meanwhile, Wake Forest, they haven't impressed very much this year. Now, you were at the game against Vanderbilt. Is that a fair statement?
It's a very fair statement.
But they won by 16. Oh, but Josh, we beat an SEC team by 16. Okay. How great did Mitch Griffiths look in that one? And he had the pick six against Elon. Like, really, I don't even know what the identity of this Wake Forest team is right now. Like, are they run first? Like, they ran it better against Vanderbilt than they did against Elon in that 20-point win.
Right.
But, it's not Sam Hartman running this team.
Mitch Griffiths, well, I was just going to say, Mitch Griffiths didn't have to be flashy, so because they ran the ball so well. But they didn't do anything that wowed me. I told you that after I watched them.
Yeah. I'm so mad at what's happening on social media right now.
Why?
So I selfishly went out to the audience and said, hey, Orioles tonight.
Are you still on this?
No. Just let me get the, you're going to like this.
Oh, my God.
I need a login. I'm not subscribing to Apple TV Plus. I've already used my free trial up, yeah. And it's the biggest series of the year for the Orioles.
Yeah.
Instead, what I get is Kyle, the Amazon driver, saying, oh, Amazon.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned this.
Owns Twitch now. They show Thursday night games on Twitch. You can watch Prime Video here.
Talking to me.
Talking to you.
Talking to me.
So I went out needing help, needing something.
And I got help.
And then WD, who doesn't deserve the help or ask for the help, gets the help for Prime Video.
That's rich. I love it. Thank you, Kyle. I will do that. I'll take you up on that. Thursday night football. Let's go. Screw the birds.
There you go. Wake Forest. Who's the team in the horror movie that's going to lose? My guess is it's probably Wake Forest. This team, they're still finding itself. You're on the road. There's some scary that comes along with this game. You don't really have a shot at losing if you're Duke or NC State, but North Carolina and Wake, there could be some scary potential with that. In addition to being the voice of the high school football game of the week on WSJS, Dave Pulaski is a Jet fan. Speaking of sads and scaries, so we'll console him, and we'll hug him, and we'll tell him he's special when Dave joins us next.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
You might be wondering why the Sound of Silence is playing as we welcome the voice of our high school football game of the week, Dave Pulaski, to our studio.
I have a feeling I know already.
It's not because of Reagan playing East Forsyth tonight.
No, no.
The reason's because David's a Jet fan. And after hyping them up last week, Aaron Rodgers is posting a photo of himself from a hospital bed after having surgery on his Achilles tendon last night. How you holding up, buddy?
Well, I'm wearing black. It was just coincidental, though. I'm doing okay. That game ran the gamut of emotions. I mean, four plays into the game, Rodgers goes down with the ankle injury and Achilles tear. And you're thinking, oh, great, season's done. And then they fall behind 13-3. Then they come back and go up 16-13. Then Tyler Bass kicks it off the upright and in to force overtime. And then the punt return by Gibson in OT to win it. I mean, Mike Vaccaro from the New York Post had a really good article that really kind of captured the emotion of everything, not only for the Jets and Jets fans, but it kind of transcended the Jets and even football in general. It's like any sports fan. I mean, you know, you as an Orioles fan or anybody else, just it underlined why we care so much about these teams and these games.
You still have that music ready to go, queued up. You want to know what my emotions were last night watching the Orioles on Fox against the Tampa Bay Rays? The birds, man. That's you walked up to me today. You saw me wearing this shirt.
Yeah.
And you asked, oh, yeah, hey, that leads down to what, three? Maybe two?
No.
It's one game lead that the Orioles have on them.
But how clear are you in the wild card race? I mean, you guys are far and away.
Don't talk to me about the wild card race. We got the best record in the American League right now, Dave Pulaski. I don't want to hear about the wild card race.
Hey, as a Mets fan who has been on the outside looking in for months now, I would gladly take that trade.
Just let it wash over you. You would pull the Disturbed version of this.
You darn right I would. It's the good one.
The good one?
Did somebody else do this?
I just...
Did somebody else do this?
Is this like the wagon wheel conversation?
I know he's not joking.
It's worse.
That's the sad part.
It's worse than the wagon wheel conversation.
Oh.
Paul Simon is one of the greatest musicians ever.
Simon
and
Garfunkel.
Have you ever heard of them?
No.
You ever seen the movie The Graduate? I know you haven't.
Well?
Have you ever seen The Graduate? He doesn't even know who Dustin Hoffman is.
Well.
There you go.
Dave, next project, watch The Graduate.
That's right.
We'll have to write that one down. He's got Beverly Hills Cop because Sean Clark recommended it earlier this week. Seems to be a light college football slate this weekend. What college game are you most excited to watch this weekend?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm so laser focused on the ones that I'm working that, you know, I haven't really even gotten into the research of
which one are you working
games.
Tomorrow?
I'm working UCLA and NC Central at the Rose Bowl.
NC Central's playing at the Rose Bowl, you guys. I'm sure Dave Pulaski is going to figure out a way to work in teams from Durham associated with the Rose Bowl.
Well, I mean, the Rose Bowl was in Durham during World War II.
Exactly. And here we are.
They have a plaque.
80 years later, NC Central's playing in the Rose Bowl. That's what's happening. I'm so mad at WD right now. Who's Simon and Garfunkel? Unbelievable. I'm going to be going to Boone App State, or App State, East Carolina, in Boone. Boone App State, what a matchup. Have you had a tight high school football game yet? You've got East Forsyth and Reagan.
Yeah. And
Reagan.
Like Ronald Reagan.
You both are saying two different things.
Reagan.
Okay, there you go. Reagan.
It's like it's Forsyth, not Forsyth.
I said Reagan to open up, and then I say Reagan because I know people from, you know, Pofftown who say Reagan.
What?
They do. I'm not going to put them on blast right now.
Yeah.
But I've heard it. So just got to make sure we get the pronunciation straight here. You haven't had a tight high school football game yet, so in case things get out of hand, what is some material, a fun fact or a nugget that, in the event of things getting out of hand, we might hear tonight?
Well, I mean, you just never know. I mean, I have the stuff kind of hidden in the back of the folder there.
He's got a secret latch. Right. Oh, in his prep.
There's a whole little folder, a resource folder that I can dive into when I need it.
Like, where do you look in high school football? Where do you look for these types of
Winston-Salem Journal and Greensboro News and Record and High School OT? There's a plethora of different sites that come around. I mean, sometimes it's recruiting stuff. Sometimes it's just a little news and nuggets. I just read an article that Huff's kicker set a national field goal record last night. He's already committed to Clemson and already set the record for the most career field goals by a high school kicker.
So wow.
Maybe that could be something.
That could be something. I mean, every time I think of you and Drew doing a blowout in the fourth quarter, a song comes to mind that, you know, I just really feel for you.
Is it by Simon and Garfunkel?
Very good. This is probably peak sad song.
Bridge Over Troubled Water, maybe? Is that the song that comes to mind?
Not by Disturbed.
No,
this one...
I'm sure it's been covered by somebody else that Will's heard of, though.
Probably. Man, that's the thing that you do if you're an artist nowadays. You just
cover,
find a
sampled,
song that people like Will Dalton have never heard of, and then act like it's yours.
Right.
Darius
I've heard
Rucker.
Of it. What? But I've only heard of this song from Disturbed.
But that's what I'm saying. If you're Disturbed, play off people that act like the world didn't exist before they were born.
But that's been going on for ages.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, you know, Vanilla Ice, who was in Thomasville recently. You know, Ice Baby is...
Vanilla Ice was in Thomasville?
He was, yeah.
It's random.
Get rid of this. We need to explore.
He was at a restaurant in Thomasville recently. I saw it pop up on one of the newspaper articles.
Scottie Pippen was in Raleigh this week.
Ice Baby was Queens Under Pressure.
Oh, sure. But that's sampling.
But still, that's what's been going on, though.
Okay, I'm fine with sampling, right? You take something to create something new altogether. That's not what they're doing.
Okay.
They're singing the song verbatim, the entire thing.
I mean, Jimi Hendrix did that for Bob Dylan's All Along the Watchtower, but then perfected it. So.
I know. Same title. Darius Rucker's Wagon Wheel. Oh, you want to start a fight? I'm here for you.
Not a bad one, but not the original.
Not Old Crow.
Right.
Not Old Crow. Dave Pulaski. I think we might just let you go on that, so that way we don't start any more fist fights around here. I do want to fight WD right now. I'm more mad about this than I was any of the movies that you say you haven't seen. So upset. There's another version of this song?
There he goes. Well, that's why we keep him around.
Okay.
Because he's quick.
That's good. It's good production work. He's quick sometimes.
But East Forsyth Reagan should be interesting. I mean, your classic, don't judge a book by its cover. Reagan's 0-3, tremendously tough schedule. East Forsyth's 3-0, have won 12 straight conference games. This is the Central Piedmont Conference opener. Last team to beat them was Reagan in Kernersville 2 years ago. So you might want to stick around for the matchup tonight.
Kernersville!
Make sure you, yes, in Kernersville.
Yes.
Make sure you listen to Dave Blasky and Drew Brackett tonight for East Forsyth and Reagan. Thanks for being here, buddy.
Of course, always.